scripture. If you want to turn to Colossians, the first chapter, you want to read out of there, then also Matthew, the 11th chapter. So let's just go to these two places. Very, very familiar scriptures. And God just put on my heart to speak again. It's kind of, I probably don't remember the last time I spoke, but it was kind of about predestination. We're kind of keeping on those same lines this morning. Just pray God will put it together the way he wants it done. I had some other quotes that I just really wanted to bring, and I could not get them printed off. I went different places last night to print them. I tried to print them off this morning. They wouldn't come off, so maybe God just didn't want me to use them. I don't know, but maybe it's the devil that's trying to stop me. I don't know. I'm just going to take off here and see how God leads. All right? You be praying, okay? Colossians 1 and 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Paul says, now this mystery has been hid all the way down through time, but now it's being made manifest, and that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right? If you want to read out of Matthew 11, 25, I'm going to read at the about three verses there, Matthew 11, 25. It says this, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So first of all, he says, I thank you that you hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. And then he turns right around and says, now it's up to me to reveal it to them, these things that you're talking about. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for bringing us here this morning. We ask that you would just be with us, give us the thoughts, and Lord, help us to have hearts to receive it. Help us all just to get our own self out of the way. And you just speak what you once said this morning, and then we will go from here knowing that that you are in our midst and that you care for us and that you just want us closer to you. So we just have great expectations, Lord Jesus, that you'll come and show yourself a mighty God this morning. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I have a thought, and it might be kind of weird. I'm going to call this the secret in the play. The secret in the play. Because God, Brother Branham talked about how God has this great drama, and he's got this whole big plan. He started way at the beginning, before the beginning, back in the eternities. He had this idea in his mind. He wanted to play it all the way down. And each age has their own act that you have to play. And here we are in the final act of the play, this great drama that God has, and each one of us are on stage now doing our part in this drama, no matter what it is. Everybody in the world is playing their part in this drama. And there's critics. Anytime you have a play or a movie or something, critics are always there. And they want to say, well, I like this part about the show. I didn't like that part about it. And that's the way it's been down through all ages. The critics have been there, and they have been the religious people of that day. The ones who say they are here to serve the real God, the ones who are the real Christians, the ones who were the believers of Israel down through there. And the problem the critics have is they look at the word for their day, and they look at the play that's going on, and they criticize it. Why? Because they don't see the secret that's run through. There's a thread that runs through every act, all the way down through time. There's always a secret thread, and only the elect can see it. But the critics look at it and say, I don't like this. I don't like the way this is going today. And I can look at yesterday and say, oh my goodness, what a mighty God we had. What a mighty God we had. But they look at what it is today, and they say, I don't think this is the way it's supposed to go. I don't like this the way it's going. Because they don't see the secret. That's that thread that runs through every one of these plays, because in the day you live, that's when you're blinded to it. Ain't that amazing? And Jesus thanked the Father for that. Why? Why would Jesus, excuse me, just a second. I'm already getting warm up. Why would Jesus not say, let me just save everybody? Everyone who wants to be a Christian, come on in, you're all saved. We know that's not how it works. It's never been that way. That's never been God's way of doing it. This is where I knew those quotes I don't have, but let me just try to summarize. In the Christ is a Mystery, Brother Branham said how God, he was all opening it little by little all the way down, this great mystery. He's got to open it all the way down through time, but just a little in each age. He's always showing a little bit more, a little bit more, until the last age, which is this age, he brings it all together and he exposes the whole thing. It's called the opening of the seven seals. And that's what that was for, is so that we here at the last day, we can stand at the very precipice, the end of time, and look into the eternity and see exactly what's going on. Because you have to know who you are or you're not going in the rapture. Because when the bride knows who she is, that's when the rapture goes. And it's not something that's just preaching to your head. But the way you know it, little by little, is you see the word, you see the secret happening in your own life, and it keeps telling you who you are. It keeps telling you that you are going in the rapture because this is who you are. It's not something a preacher can tell you. Your family can't tell you. It's got to be God taking this word that's being preached and manifesting it through your life, and you see, I am the secret. I am the mystery. I am the manifestation of this secret. This is what I was born for. And you can study and study and study this message for the rest of your life and sit there blind as a bat, because it's only God can show you who you are.
Amen.
Oh my. Brother Branham says this: there's no contradiction in God's word. I like to see the scripture that contradicts itself, that cannot be straightened by that same scripture. What is it? It's your critics that, well, Brother Branham said this way, this way. He said it that way, that way. He said two different things. Well, how can you have confidence? Because that's not what we're looking at, friends. We're looking at that word that's revealed to you could come and live itself out. Can someone tell you God hasn't done something in your life? Has this message not produced something in your life? Then try to talk you out of it. Brother Gene, you know this is nothing to this. Brother Gene, you know you just fell on man-made fables. You know that, Brother Gene, right? What's Brother Gene going to say? Thank you. It's already happening. Go tell a woman who's 8 months pregnant that she's not pregnant. Come on. It is written, surely in parables, because it's purposely did that way to confuse the wise and prudent, that God might reveal it to babes such as would learn. It's done that way on purpose. So many things that Brother Branham said, and it seems to contradict himself. God was not confused. Brother Branham wasn't confused. The Holy Spirit had him say things that way. And he gives the explanation for it, why he does it. But here it is. It's because sometimes it's done in parables. Look at some of the stories Brother Branham told. You know, according to Brother Branham, Samson was a little sissy, little mama's boy, and he's also a great big book of a man at the same time. Well, you can't do that. You can't be both. He said when that fish swallowed Jonah, he said it rested his flippers on the bottom of the sea. And at the same time, it was splashing water all over the countryside heading for Nineveh. At the same time. People look at these things and say, well, he's contradicting himself. Friends, he was trying to get a point across. It was a parable. It was told in such a way, but you see, the scholars and the smart intellectual people, they look at it and they say, oh, he contradicted himself. How can you have any confidence in what he's saying? The reason I have confidence in what he said, because what he said has produced Christ in me. Stop trying to be a theologian and try to figure it all out. The Bible has, if you just read the straight-up Bible, it has contradictions in it. Brother Branham just said it doesn't. But there's one thing, where, you know, a person says something one time, he said it's something different the other time. There's things like that, and people look at that and say, well, you can't have any confidence in that. Well, it depends if you see the secret or not. Jesus, when he came into the world, he came in a time of a massive unbelief. That's right. He came in such a way that it caused the unbelievers to disbelieve more. Now look at our prophet, the way he came. He came in such a way that the unbelievers would disbelieve more. The make-believers would find all kinds of reasons to find fault with them and end up walking away. And we see that. But the believers sit there and say, where are y'all going? Don't you see the secret? Don't you see what's going on? Oh. The more you see this, the more you recognize who you are. You know what it's time to do? It's time to start saying, well, I guess I got it. Well, I hope I got it. Well, I think God is making a difference in my life. Well, I sure hope this is it. I know something changed me. I'm not sure what it is. What an insult. Go up to God and say, yeah, I think you changed me. I'm not sure. Well, who changed you then? Satan? Is one of the two? Give the glory to one of them. Who's working in your life? Who's making the difference in your life if it's being made? Now, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. That's why I'm going to speak on the church this morning, the hidden mystery God had in his mind before the world ever began. Now that it's unfolded, write it down to this present hour we're living. Then you'll understand clearly then, I believe, what is going on. God's great mystery of how it's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angel didn't understand. He didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. He said, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. Go read. Go listen to Christ is a mystery of God revealed. It's the opening of the seventh seal if you don't believe it. Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. He said, even the Son himself don't know when it's going to happen. See, God has this all to himself. It's his secret. That's the reason there is silence in heaven for a space of a half hour. Then the seven thunders uttered the voice that John was even forbidden to write it, the coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed. Listen to this. He said, that's one thing he hasn't revealed it yet of how he will come and when he will come. It's a good thing he doesn't know. He has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. He said he hadn't revealed it, hadn't showed it, but he has showed it and revealed it in every type in the Bible. So you look at all the way down through and you see the type of Abraham and Moses and Noah and Daniel and all these types. And what it does, it points to what's going on here. But we're not the type anymore. We are the reality of those types. We are the ones that they were pointing to. They're saying, in the end, there is going to be a bride that is not with no spot or wrinkle. There's going to be a bride, and we're all pointing to that. That's why Brother Branham said every prophet wanted to live in this age. Everyone wanted to see what we're seeing, and we're looking at it, and it is so simple. If it wasn't so simple, we'd be like, oh, God, oh, my goodness, look what's happening. But because it's so simple, we even look at it and wonder sometimes, is this really happening? Because it just doesn't appeal to our own nature sense of what religion should be. That's why unbelievers and make believers don't want it, because it don't appeal to their thought, their natural idea of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be religious. And he takes every bit of your effort out. That's what we don't like. He says, you're still putting your effort, you're still trying to help me save you? Have fun, because I'm sitting over here. When you're done trying to save yourself, let me know. The entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible, and all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type and expressing what God's great goal is. And now in this last day, he has revealed it and shows it, and God's help will see it right here this morning. This was when he preached Christ is the mystery. Everything was down there. And here's the thing also. A lot of people recognize, yeah, that Christ is a mystery. That was like the preaching, the opening of the seals. But you can understand that from here until the rapture and miss the rapture. Because what he preached there was a seed. The spoken word is a seed. And you got to take that seed. It's got to become real in you. And it has to manifest what Brother Branham preached. It's not just for us to preach it. It's not just for us to know it. It's not just for us to believe it. It has to be living today. And there is three parts. Remember the three parts? Preeminence in a man. God had preeminence in man. Jesus. Through him, preeminence in a church, the bride. What was the last one? You take her all the way back to Eden. What does that mean? We're all going to walk around naked in a beautiful garden? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is we're going to have the same characteristics of relationship that God had with Adam and Eve before the fall. And when you see those characteristics manifesting through you, you better just hold on. Don't hang on too tight, because you're going to be lifting out of here one day.
That's the only way it's going to happen, friends. For those of us who are alive and remain, we have to know without a shadow of a doubt, I know who I am because the word is proving it to me. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let me read something here. Unveiling of God, Brother Branham says, now my subject this morning, I trust God will reveal this. Excuse me. And each time, if you'll take the tapes and listen, I hope and trust that you have had a spiritual understanding of what that God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. It's a thing sometimes. We have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. It might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over. Look at that. That's done purposely. It must be done that way. Oh my, that is so against the human mind of what God, a God of love, Jesus' love, this sweet Jesus, right? He wants to save everybody. He does want to save everybody, but he also knows everyone's not going to be saved. So he's not sitting there preaching a lie. But it's done in such a way. Why? Because when you have so many spirits, people come in here with all different kinds of religious spirits, it just makes it hard for God to get his point across, to get his program across. And it also drags people away. It causes all kinds of problems because they're all going to walk away except the very elect. We're going to stand there on our own. So he does these things to get people to go out. And brother, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but Brother Brown talks about, is in John there, where he says something and he causes, you know, he says, except you eat the blood, eat the flesh and drink the blood. And people said, well, we're cannibals and vampires. And they walked away. And then there's another group there. And they stuck around a little bit longer. And then he said, well, when you see the Son of Man rise up and go back, ascend back into heaven where he came from. He said, we know you. We ate with you. We've walked with you. What do you mean you came from heaven? And they walked away. He done this on purpose. He didn't explain it. He was just saying these things. Why? Because he knew that the group was too big. It's going to be too cumbersome. He had to just get that one little group, and they turned to those last 12. And the make-believer was still with them. Oh. That make-believer stuck with them right to the end. He said, y'all want to go too? He said, where are we going to go? Back to the old denominations we came out of? Look how many people have left this message and went back to denomination. Go back and get baptized in the Trinity baptism. And then get on the internet and just trash the message. It has to be done that way. And you look at the message and you see what a lot of the people that call themselves message believers, you see what they're doing, and it just throws them for a loop. It blinds their eyes. So, well, this camp, look at these people. They're the biggest hypocrites ever. I agree. A lot of message believers are the biggest hypocrites ever. That doesn't mean there's not a real seed there. There is a real seed, and it is producing what the message said it would produce. If it doesn't, if it's not happening, friends, we need to throw this message away and go find something else. We're too close to the end. It was 50 or 60 years ago that this word came as a seed. If it hasn't brought forth life by this time, it's a dead seed or it's a hybrid seed. So what do you see? When you're playing your part out on the stage, do you see the secret? Are you wondering? If you're wondering, you're making it too hard. You're making it too difficult. You're not seeing the simplicity of it. What a comfort for believers. Because see, the manifestation, those, let me just read this real quick. I'm going to skip it, I'm not. He said, when the Apostle Peter made that great statement, Lord, to whom will we go? We are satisfied. We know assuredly that you and you alone have the word of life at this hour. We're satisfied of that. See, they could not explain it. You can't explain faith. It's something that you believe. It's so solid that there's nothing else will take its place. Therefore, they knew that the word that was written for that age they were living in, the Messiah age, that he fit that place exactly. He knew that he was the one who was fulfilling the word for that day. And that manifestation of the word, that light that shined, it caused some, it blinded their eyes. The light blinded some eyes and they walked away. Other people, the light showed them the way. It opened their eyes and they saw, I'm walking exactly where I'm supposed to be walking. So how has the manifestation of the word done in your life? See the comfort? Because if the believers stick around, let me put it that way, and sometimes we go out and we come back. Many believers and unbelievers, they go out and they stay gone. But if you see the manifestation of the word and it draws you to it and it keeps you there, it's because God is revealing that to you, friends. And that's exactly what the believer, your reaction is how a believer reacts. I'm kind of struggling here. Thank you, but I do have some water here, but I appreciate it. I need a drink a little. Wonderful. So, friends, that's the comfort we have is when we see the word having the effectiveness, it doesn't cause us to leave. It causes us to come. It causes us to stay. Some of us have walked away, and you know what happens? That word brings us back. Some of us have walked away, and they stayed gone. So now look who you are. What is the word doing? See, this is God. I'm going to get to this. Let me get to it right now. It's God proving who you are. You don't prove who you are. God is your witness. He's witnessing who you are. Look at your family members who have walked away. Look at your friends who walked away. Look at the preachers, big ministries, they've walked away. Why? Because God never witnessed that they were one of his. They had all kinds of great signs and wonders, great ministries, and all this kind of stuff going on, but there was something wrong. They never recognized the secret. They never recognized the main thing that was going through this, and they just saw this great act going on. They say, well, I don't think this is the way this act should play out. And so they went off and tried to write their own part to the act. Why would God do it this way? Why is this happening? Let me ask you something. Let me tell you something. As soon as you create your first grain of sand, as soon as you bring your first blade of grass to life, go ahead and question God. Until you can do that, shut up. Stop questioning how God runs his show. I don't mean to be rude by saying shut up. I'm saying, look, there's nothing wrong with asking God why. There's nothing wrong with that. God, why is this happening? It's your attitude. When we do it with a critical spirit. Well, God, I don't know why you're doing this. Why does this have to happen? Why do I have to go through this? Why? And God's looking at you and say, you little baby, grow up. You can just say that. God, this is going on. I would like to know why, because sometimes it's easy. And God will tell you sometimes. Especially after you go through the trial. He turns around and says, now see what I did? And you say, oh, wow, amazing. But until we can do what God can do, until we are God, stop criticizing the play. Just live your part. But we don't like it. The critics don't like it, so they go off and they write their own part, which is still part of the play, but they're just the wrong person in it. Jesus said those things to weed down his crowd till he get his group together. Out of those people, only 11 of them understand actually what he was. They knew he was God and God alone. God, as always in every age, has hid himself behind a veil. All ages. But he's been God all the time. He kept himself hid from the world, reveals himself to his elected like the apostles in the day. That was God speaking in Christ. He weeds us down. We want a nice big church with lots of people. Don't you? I do. We've got about 10 here. Of course, some are on vacation. That's good. I totally recommend taking vacation, friends. It's really good for your mental health. It makes you a nicer person to be with. Makes me a nicer person, I'll tell you what. I can't even stand myself sometimes. But he weeds it down. And it was, if someone walked in here that, like from the world and said, hey, Phil, I want to go to church with you. Okay, come to church. They look around and say, really? You drive an hour and 10 minutes to get to this? You know how many churches you pass to get here? Churches with thousands of people in the pews? Great programs? Worship services that'll blow your mind? Healings? Deliverances? You drive all the way here just to get to this. Can't help it. Something drew me here. It wasn't because I was so smart or so spiritual or so holy. Because I recognized, someone opened my eyes and I recognized the secret in the play. And you can't open your own eyes, friends. And you can't open your family's eyes. A preacher, your pastor can't open your eyes. God alone gives the revelation. But if you'll listen to the true ministry, he can open your eyes if you're one of his. If you're not one, you'll probably walk away anyways. So we see then, basically in the beginning, the very thought that God had in his mind, he hid it from all those scholars, that just a number, a selected predestinated number, a predestinated people was the only ones that heard it. They're all hearing the same message being preached, but only a certain amount of them could understand what was really being said. Predestinated, there's the mystery. Oh, that's the thing people don't like. People don't like predestination because it takes it all out of their hands. Ain't that amazing? We'll talk about that in a little bit. Before Christ or anything else was ever on earth, you see his great mystery? He chose the bride, knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing that she would fall. He chose the bride. His election is his. It's not my election. It's his. He elects. But he would choose a bride that would not fall, that would hold to that word regardless of what the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to the word. They are predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ predestinated the church to that great glorious stand. If God predestinated you and put you in that spot, elected for that, there is nothing can keep you from getting there. There's nothing can drag you away. There's nothing that can make you fall. There's no way you can miss the rapture. It's impossible because you are predestinated. You are elected for that job. He knew Eve would fall away, but he picked a people that would not fall away. He knew that she would disbelieve. He picked a people that would not disbelieve. Why? Because they would not be enticed by Satan's great temptation. You know, there's two main things, I believe, that... Well, there's a lot of them, but there's two things I want to talk about that Satan uses to draw people away so that they see the word, they see what's going on, but they don't like it. One of them is like Eve. What are the two things that happen in Eden? Pride. First of all, Satan, Lucifer had pride. That's why he got kicked out of heaven, right? I will exalt myself. I will. And then Eve, she wanted to know more than her pastor. She wanted to know more than Adam. She wanted to have a little bit more understanding of the word so she could be exalted. See, our own nature likes to be exalted. And Satan will appeal to you, to your own nature, to exalt yourself. And when you have to accept that God does it all, if he don't save you, you're lost. If he didn't elect you, you're not elect. That goes against our human nature. Because then I had to completely surrender everything to him and say, God, either you save me or I'm out of here. And he gives me the word, then he expects me to believe what he tells me. And just that, just believe what he's going to do, and then don't try to help him. I'm going to try harder. Good luck. You got to humble yourself to believe the word, what he says about you. You got to humble yourself and just like, God, you have to do this. I believe you're going to do it, but now you're going to have to do the work. It's the Holy Spirit is the instrumentality of toil. He's the one who works in you to perform what God wants done. And the biggest problem God has is getting us to let go so he can do it. Because there's no self-exaltation. You know, I want to tell someone, look what a believer I am. Look what a preacher I am. Look at my great faith. Look how holy I am. Look how humble I am. And we want to display all our wonderful fruits of the Spirit so other people can look and say, wow, what a mighty Christian you are. Yeah, I know. It looks so good to an extent until you get to the point you realize that's driven by yourself. So that's why he busts us down and busts us down. And we go through these trials and we have all this stuff happen and all the sorrow we go through. Because he sees that I got to get you down to where you really are going to let me take care of you. The other thing that he uses, the main thing, one of the main things. What happened as soon as they fell? You know, remember Adam, he was so in love with Eve, and he was, you know, I'll walk out with her, I'll take her sin on myself. I'm going to do this because I can't stand to live without her. What a love. As soon as that divine nature left him, what did he become? Coward. Oh, it's this woman you gave me. He starts blaming everyone else. It's fear, friends. Satan will use pride and he'll use fear, and those two will interact together on each other. He used fear. Well, what if God doesn't keep his word? What if his grace isn't sufficient? I better live a really holy life so that in case his strength isn't enough, he has to save me anyways. See, no one thinks that way. Every legalistic person in the world thinks that way, friend. That's that spirit of legalism. I got to live good enough so God will save me. Because why? His grace wasn't sufficient. The blood wasn't enough. We do despite to the spirit of grace by trying to live good enough to be saved. And he says, I elected you. I already chose you. You're predestinated not to fall. Do you not recognize who you are? How many times have you heard what I'm preaching? How many times in the last 30 or 40 years have you heard what I'm saying? Over and over and over. You hear it from this pulpit. You hear other preachers. You heard it from the prophet. He's telling this over and over. But our mind is so human. And we keep, Satan keeps looking at the wrong. He, look at this, look at this, look how you're living, look at this. And yet the promise says that you are predestinated not to fall. Look where you're at. Look at the people who walked out of here. Look how you're still here. What's keeping you here? Well, that's Brother Phil. I'm just a pretty smart guy. You just understand. I'm pretty religious. No. You know better than that. You're here because there is a third pull that drew you here and is keeping you here. You are the manifestation of the word for this day. You are the secret. You are the manifestation of the secret. People look right at you and their eyes are blind and say, I don't see nothing. God said in the last days, he bring out a people washed in his blood. They're predestinated to be there. They've got to be there. God said so. And the very sign, Malachi 4, what he would do, restore back again, bring back in the last days these great things that he promised. He'd bring the revelation. What is he to do, Malachi 4, is to bring back the faith of the fathers to the children. The Holy Ghost alone is the revealer of the divine revelation of Christ and has been in all ages. The reason that critics can't see it, because they're not accepting the revelation of the Holy Ghost, because they're not elect. It's only for the elect. Let's put this, let me read this some more here. It says, God has purposed and hid it from the eyes of the prudent and wise, revealed it to the predestinated babies who were predestinated to receive it. He goes on to say, the church has the preeminence. Wait a minute. How does the church have the preeminence? Christ has the preeminence, right? Then how can the church have the preeminence? Because she has become the light of the day. She has become the living word. She has become Christ. Don't separate Christ from the church, from the bride once they're married, friends, because you can't. They have become one. We have the preeminence. I'm going to do things. I have the preeminence. I do what I want. No, because you're so surrendered to him that he has taken you to himself, and you only do what pleases him. The church has a preeminence. God's great secret has always blinded the wisdom of the world. They can't get it. They just don't understand it. Satan don't understand it. None of the rest of them understand it, but just those who are predestinated to understand it, how God and Christ are one. How the church, remember he said, all that was in God he poured into Christ, all that Christ he poured into the church, then how in the world can Christ and the church be one when I still make mistakes? How can we be one when I still have failures, when I still have bad thoughts, when I still do things that I had to repent from, and yet you say we're one? Yes, we are. Because it's the soul that's been redeemed. It's the soul that has been rejuvenated. It's the soul where he lives. And it's the soul that's taken preeminence. And when that what's in the soul starts having greater preeminence in this body, it's going to change this body. Oh, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. My mind does not accept that. My human mind does not, it can't be filled. But something inside is greater than my human mind. And when I get down and I pray and said, God, you promised me this. He said, didn't I tell you this? Didn't I tell you that? And I accept it. And you know what that does? It tells this human mind to shut up. Satan's in that mind. Satan's in your mind, and he's struggling. He's fighting. He's warring. He's telling you, you're not. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be free. You're not going to have deliverance. This ain't going to work out. And at the whole time, something inside is sitting there saying, are you done yet, you liar? Shut up, Satan. I got no more time to listen to you. Now let's listen to the prophet for a while. But you know why we listen to it? Because he strokes our ego. He strokes our pride. He strokes our fear. He strokes our protecting ourselves. And we spend so much of our time defending ourselves and protecting ourselves so we don't get hurt anymore. It's fear. It's pride. He says, why don't you just walk into the fire where you know you're going to get destroyed? Let me set you free. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked into those flames, they weren't trying to protect themselves. They didn't say, hey, we got our asbestos suits on. They just said, hey, God's going to save us or not. It's up to him. He promised you. In your situation, he already promised you. God, are you going to save me or not? I already promised you. I'm taking you in a rapture. So then what happens here? What does it matter? Except to our pride, our ambition, our human love, fear. The things Satan uses against us. John the Baptist would have never known Jesus Christ if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost pointing him out. That's right. John the Baptist, that great prophet that come forth and said, there's one standing among you right now. There's an ordinary man standing here somewhere, that the Lamb of God. John said, I bear record. I saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost descending from heaven like a dove. It went upon him. A voice said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm pleased. What was it? The Holy Ghost said, I'll point him out. Do you hear what he said? The great prophet did not know Jesus except the Holy Ghost had to reveal who it was. The very Son of God, the very Lamb of God, the very one he came to run and say, point of this is the one. And yet the prophet himself didn't know. Except God had to point him out to him. That's the only way you'll know him today. Only way you'll get the threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost. And the only way it can ever be is you're predestinated to see it. If it don't, you'll never see it. If you're not predestinated to see it, you'll never see it, because the light can flash and soon you'll go away and make fun of it and explain it away by some intellectual conception when the very God himself manifesting himself and proving it. But if it ain't upon you to see it, you won't see it. Then how do we, I know I've hit this several times, it just comes back. How do we treat sinners like trash? How do we, I'm not saying go hang, you know, do the stuff they're doing, but recognize that it's only the grace of God is the only way that I'm here today. Not because I'm smart, not because I'm special, not because of anything, not because I'm spiritual, not because of anything else, but the grace of God chose me. And I recognize that. That's why you're here. Not because we're better. Peter says, one place he says, if you don't have those virtues in you, he said, those who don't have those virtues, they forgot where they came from. I'm afraid there's a lot of message believers forgot where they came from. Because pride. I'm too holy to hang around with you. Have we forgot where we came from? Have we forgot the grace it took to save us? To keep us saved? John would have never known him had the Holy Ghost not pointed him out. See, God hides his mystery in the high educated and everything. to the high education and everything. And simplicity reveals it to whom he has predestinated to. Others standing by never even seen the dove. They never heard no voice. It was only to that predestinated seed. Predestinated? Certainly he was predestinated. For Isaiah, 712 years before he was born, and the spirit raised up out of those human senses, there's a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Amen. I'm out of time, friends. I got a lot more to preach. I'm out of time. I think we got enough. Is that enough? If I keep going, I got another 30 minutes or so if I get started on this next one, and so I don't want to kill you. You still questioned it. Isn't that amazing? Great point. After he had that great revelation, and then things were not playing out, he was watching the play, and he wasn't seeing, understanding. This is not the way the play is supposed to go, according to John's idea. So, friends, when you stumble over things and you struggle and wonder about that, you're in good company. John the Baptist himself did the same thing. Brother Branham had things he didn't understand. What's going on? How is this supposed to be? You know, he had those visions of the great blast. He said, oh, it's going to kill me. That great blast is going to kill me, so I don't want to tell the family, but it wasn't going to kill him. All kinds of things. So when you don't understand, just keep going. Just walk in the light that you see, and God will bring you as you need it. Can you humble yourself to do that? Because so many people can't. I don't understand. I don't like the way things are going. I don't know what's going on, so I'm just going to leave. Friends, if you can't leave, just recognize who you are. There's something keeping you here. It's not your own strength, your own ability, your intellects. It just might be that you are elect. Amen. Let's stand. Appreciate the pull this morning. Very, very easy to preach. I just thank you so much for that. Lord Jesus, we're just so grateful you would come and speak to us today, Lord, and just increase our faith. And Father, like I said, there's nothing that we hadn't heard before, but sometimes you just take it and make it more real to us. You take the same words and you make it more real, something more certain in our lives, because we recognize what you are doing, Father. And the manifestation of that word, we become that word when we see it happening in us, and we recognize it tells us who we are. What a comfort it is to know that the word, when it's manifested, it has the effect on us that it's having, Lord. And we go through so many trials, we go through so many troubles, and we have so many failures, we have so many questions. And yet the whole time, if we would just stay right there with what you told us, we would just walk in the light that you've shown us. And Father, we will just keep going. And there's a wonderful ending to all this play, Lord. That last time when we get that body change, we walk onto the millennium and all the things we have ahead of us, Father. Help us just, Lord, just to continue to press on, Lord, and just believe that it's for us, Lord. And then, Lord, we need you to continue to reveal yourself. We need it every day. We need to know that you are with us. We need to know that we are one with you, Father. When we see the word happening, that's what we know. It proves us who we are, Father. And when that faith reaches a certain point, Lord, then we're going to have a body change. So we believe it's so close. Lord, it's got to be close. All we have to do is look at the world around us and recognize that this cannot keep going. The things that our prophet told us, the things that Revelation told us, is happening all around us. And Lord Jesus, help us to be faithful. Oh, Lord, you predestinated us to be faithful. You predestinated us to see it. You predestinated us not to fall. And, Lord, if we would just trust you, just hold on to you, to your word, and let our own ability go, let our own strength go. Lord, what a time we have ahead of us. What a time we have right now. If we would just humble ourselves to recognize the simplicity that you're doing this. Bless this little group here in Dixon, Lord. This has been... Over the years, it's been such a place of so much controversy and so much going on and so many people saying things about this, and yet here you have a little lighthouse in Dixon, and who would have ever thought? We're still here. How many great and noble people have walked away, how many great and noble people with many, many, you look at it and say, so much greater people and greater churches and all these kind of things, but yet you had in your mind that there's going to be a little group of believers coming out of Dixon, Tennessee. And it kind of makes me think, you just, not that you would do this, but just kind of thumbing your nose in Satan's face and say, yeah, you thought you had Dixon. But he don't. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us to fulfill this role. Help us again, Lord, just as I said, to be faithful, to walk through it with you to the end. We give you all the honor and glory and praise. In your name I pray.